Before Halloween. And you know what that means. We are getting deeper and deeper into October, and therefore the veil is almost at its thinnest point. The veil between the living world and the supernatural world. Again, if you're seeing things you normally don't see, if you're experiencing things you normally don't experience, do not be afraid. That's all part of the process. You are receiving a gift. Use that gift. Use that gift for good. Use it to advance your spiritual growth. But use that gift. Open your mind to these gifts that you are given, and open your mind to the realms of the supernatural. Thank you for listening this week. You are now tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot. It's been a great month here at the Paranormal Patriot. It's been a paranormal month, and great numbers, great shows. Everybody seems to really like the shows. Thank you for listening. As always, I am your host. This week, wearing the jack-o'-lantern on my head in honor of Halloween, the last show of October 2019. Unbelievable. Where did October go? It just seems like it was here yesterday, and now we are coming up to the last show before Halloween. Unbelievable. So this week's show, to celebrate Halloween, over the last month and a half or so, I've been storing and building paranormal encounters that some of our listeners have sent in. Some of them I've come across on the internet. Some of them have been linked to me. So they're not really listener accounts, but they are listeners telling me, hey, listen, look at this encounter. Tell me what you think of this. So I've been stockpiling them for about a month, month and a half in preparation for this show. So I've got about 7 or 8 encounters that I want to relate to you, my listeners, in this holiday season, and they all involve one of the most recognizable figures of Halloween, and that is the ghost. Now, during this whole month of Paranormal Month here on the Paranormal Patriot, I specifically did not talk about ghosts for a couple reasons. A, I'm going to do a full expose later on down the line on ghosts in general, what they are, where they come from, and more importantly, how to search for them, how to hunt for ghosts. But more importantly, I was saving it, all these encounters, for this month, because ghosts are synonymous with Halloween. Ghosts are my first passion, and they held a place dear in my heart because that's how I became involved in the paranormal. That's how I got involved in the paranormal, was ghosts in general. So these encounters that I'm going to give you are going to all revolve around ghosts. So what I want you to do is sit back, relax, open that mind, and just kind of listen to the encounters and picture yourself as that person who is experiencing this encounter and try and feel what they were feeling. So that's what the show will be about this week. But before we get into it, I have to go over last week's show. Last week's show about the occult was a huge success. And I received a vast number of emails from people who were thanking me for bringing the truth about the occult out. There are so many people out there that still believe the occult is dangerous, that believe the occult is evil and synonymous with Satanism. in a lot of these people who study the occult. And you don't have to be a devil worshiper to study the occult. You can be a Wiccan, you can be a witch, you can be just one with nature and study the occult. You can be a paranormal investigator like me. And a lot of the paranormal investigators that contacted me said, Tom, I never even thought about that. But you are absolutely right. I looked up the definition of occult, and they said, what the definition of a cult is exactly what a paranormal investigator is, searching for the truth, searching for what is hidden. Things that are hidden from us, that people search for, you are just simply searching in the occult realm. It is not evil. It is not deadly. It is not Satanism. But there were so many people that contacted me and said, Tom, it was so refreshing to hear someone say the truth about the occult. I had one person email me and said, Tom, you gave a new light onto the occult to me. I can't tell you how many times during the course of a conversation with somebody I just met or recently met, and it just comes up that I'm a witch. And the normal reaction of people is to cringe and move away in fear because they don't understand me being a witch does not mean I worship Satan. It does not mean I have a cauldron of animal parts stirring in it and making concoctions, and it doesn't mean that I eat children. It means that as a witch, I follow natural law. I believe in natural, in nature spirits, and I believe that they're all around us, that everything has a life force. And to me, I've always thought, and again, this is this person relaying this email to me. She went on and said, to me, I've always thought it odd that people cannot understand that everything living has a life force. And I responded back to her and I said, you know, years and years and years ago when I was a teenager, I read a book. I can't remember the name. I can't remember the author. And I have no idea what I did with that book. But it basically revolved around the fact that everything has a soul. Everything is alive. And nowadays, as I've grown up, I hate spiders. I hate snakes. I hate mice. I don't hate them. I'm terrified of them. But I'm now to the point where I know those are living creatures. If they breathe, if they move, if they react to pain, if they react to sunlight, if they react to movement, feel, touch, they're alive. They have a soul. They have a spirit. They have an energy. Therefore, they should live. So I tell my kids, don't kill that spider. Don't kill that. No, let that snake go. Get him away from me, but let him go. I tell my kids, you know, I think it was last summer, my youngest was taking a baseball bat and beating a tree. And I said, stop it. He's like, why? And I said, because that tree can feel that. That tree is alive. How would you like it if somebody took a bat and started beating you? And he couldn't understand for a minute until I explained to him, that tree is breathing. That tree is exuding oxygen. That tree is taking in what we breathe out, carbon dioxide. That tree is growing. That tree sleeps. That tree does everything that we do. It eats. It drinks. It grows. It sleeps. It gets sick. It gets better. It's alive. Don't beat it. If you see a bug, don't kill it. No matter how horrible, like a mosquito it is. You know, mosquitoes, I'm going to draw the line at. I see no purpose whatsoever for a mosquito, and it pains me. If that guy's going to bite me, it's a general instinct, a general reaction to just go ahead and swat the living crap out of that thing till it's dead. I feel bad, kind of, not really. But at this point, I think their sole purpose for being on this planet is to get swatted. I don't see any other purpose for a mosquito other than to spread diseases and plagues and just generally piss you off. But anything else, it has a soul. It has a spirit. It's alive. And I'm teaching my kids, leave it alone. If, you know, we have a nice pool in the backyard, I'm always taking bugs that are in the pool and getting them out. I'd like to think in their little bug head, they're saying thank you. You know, that gets me through the day. But there were so many people that contacted me that there's really no one comment of the week this week, but so many people that commented and said it was so refreshing to hear another take about the occult. There are you know, there, I can't believe how many people out there, quote unquote, practice in the occult. There are, well, I heard that Christianity in America is at an all-time low. And a lot of it, I think, it has to do with the sex scandals of the Catholic Church. I think it has to do with the morality of this country going down the tubes. And I think a lot of people are finding alternative and waking up and finding alternative, for lack of a better word, religions, because I hate the word religions. To me, religion stands for cult. To me, a religion, and I'm not saying Christianity or Islam or Judaism is a cult, but to me, religions are cults. You follow these rules or you can't be accepted. You have this hierarchy, which is essentially a pyramid scheme where the highest people get all the power and they dictate everything and tell you what to believe. To me, it's an occult, or it's a cult. I think a lot of people nowadays are moving away from that, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It really amazed me how many people got a hold of me and said, yeah, I dabble in the occult too, Tom. And I was afraid, and I'm still kind of afraid to say anything because there's still a stigmatism regarding the occult. But that is going away. If you look outside into the everyday world, the quote-unquote fringe elements that we dwell in are becoming more and more mainstream. Ghost hunting, UFOs, I mean, we all know UFOs that were once taboo are now coming into the mainstream, but it's becoming more and more okay to dabble in witchcraft, to dabble in natural law, to dabble in holistic medicines. There's a lot of truth. In my opinion, those are ancient healings, ancient ways of living. Again, as I mentioned on last week's show, magic. Magic exists, and it's all how you say it, what you mean, the spelling. Spell is in the word spelling. That's where they got the word spelling from, because you're casting a spell. Words and intentions mean something. If you put intent behind your words and you really believe it and you drill it into your head and into your mind, it becomes your reality. Let's take, for example, this scenario. We've all heard people say, oh my gosh, they lie so much, they're starting to believe their lies. And that is just like a mantra. That is just like a spell. That is just like magic. And the reason for that is somebody that lies all the time and says the lie over and over again. And this can be switched around. Somebody that says anything positive or great or something that they want to happen. You will eventually get to the point that in your head you believe that. That is what happened in your head. And it is changing your reality. That is magic. Your reality has changed. Now, it may not be the same reality for this person or this person or this person, but in your reality, that has changed. And maybe, and I'm not saying this is true, but let's just put this theory out. Maybe that is how everyone's living their lives in their own reality. Some of the most successful people in the world are those who think positive thoughts and are very, very self-confident. It's most of the people that struggle in this world have no self-esteem. They have no dignity. And they are the ones that go to Walmart wearing their pajamas. They have created this reality in their head that is the plateau that they can reach. They are nothing. They have no job. Everybody's out to get them. So they have that reality. So that reality is their reality. They are going to Walmart in their pajamas. If you have self-confidence and high confidence in yourself, well, then that reality becomes your reality. You become successful, and That is your reality. So everyone around you sees that reality, but everybody's living their own reality. I have my reality. You have your reality. Your reality may not be what I see of you, but you're living in your reality, and your reality may be something completely different than what I see. That may be the question of life, the answer of life. We make our own reality. I'm not saying that is the truth. What I'm saying is there are so many theories. Let's just add that to the fire. So, to sum it up, everybody that sent me messages of confidence and thank yous for bringing the subject up, I appreciate all the kind words, all the uplifting thoughts. And for all of you podcasters out there that contacted me and said, hey, that is a great idea for a show. I need to have you on the show. Let's talk. I brought a lot of podcasters on board from last week's show because there's a lot of people that dabble in this that have their own podcast and never really thought about talking about it. But after they saw the synopsis or the description of what the show is, they contacted me and said, we need to talk. This is an awesome subject. So thank you for contacting me. But most of all, thank you for listening to the show. Last week was a great success for a show, just like this whole month has been. The paranormal month of October for the Paranormal Patriot has been phenomenal. It was a great month. We're going to have another probably record-breaking month. It's just every month seems to be record-breaking, record-breaking, record-breaking. We keep adding more listeners every month. We keep getting more downloads, more listens. It's just it's growing by leaps and bounds, and it's because of you, my listeners. So continue to share the show, continue to tell your friends about the show, and continue to listen to the Paranormal Patriot. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to give you the Halloween paranormal encounters. Sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Said you were looking for some kind of closure. Never gonna find it here. Can you read the atmosphere? I'm not looking for any excuses for you to come over. Trying to think of what it is that could have gotten you like this. But I'm in love with the way that you say my name when you're talking about how we could have been lovers. How could I have ever sought this? Coming back to the start, we ain't told me apart. My friends all told me that I should have known better than to let you.
Michigan. It's just one of those places where history follows you everywhere you go. If you've got answers to some of your paranormal questions, the third annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention has the answers. Sunday, November 3rd, 2019, from 9 to 6, in the Grand Ballroom at the Holiday Inn at the Gateway Center in Flint, Michigan. Come to the third annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. While you're there, the subjects that were once taboo, well, they explode into the mainstream. Ghosts, Bigfoot, haunted objects, aliens, demons, Ouija boards are just some of the topics that you will learn about at the third annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. While you're there, take on a psychic reading, a tarot, see a medium, have a private seance, go to gallery readings, go see the all-day speakers and presentations. Sign up for prizes, giveaways, and much, much more. There's no Hollywood glitz or glamour here, folks. The presenters have come from all over the country to Mid-Michigan to deliver up-to-date research, raw data. They're here to discuss scientific studies, give audio and video evidence, offer hands-on psychic galleries, and share their experiences from all over the world. And then, if your spine starts to tingle, you can head over to the Haunted Halls and Magical Marketplace, where over 60 unique vendors of oddities, curiosities, haunted items, spiritual supplies, sage crystals, psychic tarot readers, mediums, authors, paranormal investigators, radio personalities, artists, and more are there to display their wares and share their stories. All of this can be experienced Sunday, November 3rd, 2019, from 9 to 6, at the Grand Ballroom at the Holiday Inn Gateway Center in Flint, Michigan. For tickets and more information, go to midmichiganparacon.com/tickets. Join me Sunday, November 3rd from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Grand Ballroom at the Holiday Inn Gateway Center in Flint, Michigan for the 3rd annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
There is a time when you need force, no resource for me to enforce. My ride of speech, my lead me horse, I bear the torch. Let's march 4th, July the 4th, we set the course for this independent outreach. You say free, but I feel the leash and I release the beast. Sick of the YouTube clips where the gun go click and the cop don't miss and the innocent man is dead in the whip and we got conflicts and the two don't mix and we all on the news just throwing fits and we lose our cool, man. That's when reality hits and you get to shit. Look at the way I live in, look at the way I dress. Look at the way I talk, the way I walk, the boy too fresh. Make a move, you don't like it. Say your words, you don't like it. Not a chance, we change your course or show remorse.
Alrighty, are you ready? Because it is now time for Paranormal Encounters for the Halloween season. These are encounters that I have come across that have been sent to me. They're in no specific order. I just randomly grabbed them. And I want to relate them to you, and I want you to listen and tell me what you think. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn off the lights, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to listen to these paranormal encounters. And again, put yourself in these people's shoes. So without further ado, here's the first encounter. I'm 25 years old. I have experienced paranormal things since I was young. My first experience is when I was maybe somewhere between 4 and 5 years old of age. My parents were missionaries and we were back in the United States staying at my grandparents' house. It was nighttime and I was sleeping alone in one of the rooms and I was awakened by a voice calling my name. Henry! Henry! The door to my room I was staying in was shut at the time. The voice... it sounded like my mother, and so I said, "What, Mom?" And again, the voice replied, "Henry." And I said, "What, Mom?" On the third time, the voice said, "Henry." I yelled, "What, Mom?" I waited to hear my name again, but the voice did not reply, and so I fell back asleep. So morning comes, and I go to the room where my parents were, and I said, "Mom, were you calling me last night?" And she said, "No." My next experience is when I was maybe 6 or 7. My uncle had died. We were in Amsterdam, Holland, and we came back for his funeral. I used to love my uncle. I would used to play and wrestle with him whenever we were in the United States. As a young child, to me, he was so cool. My parents had not told me he had died because they knew I loved him very much. I remember going to the funeral and wondering who it was for. At the funeral, I was looking for my uncle, but didn't see him. When it was time to pay respects, the person I saw in the casket was not him, but a man with long, dark brown hair and a goatee. I remember thinking to myself, "Who is this man?" I sat back down. Some of my cousins came to the funeral and asked me, "Who died?" Someone said, "Frankie died." In my mind, I was thinking that was not the person I saw in the casket. I went up again to view the person in the casket, and this time it was my uncle. He had a clean-shaved face and black hair. I think maybe the person I saw the first time was Jesus. My only explanation for that is that it was God's way of telling me that he was in heaven. My next experience is when I was around 13 in Moreno Valley, California. I was asleep in my bed and I was awakened by something that sat or pushed down on the bed where my feet were. It woke me up and I was not sure if it was my imagination, so I stared down to where my feet were and again it happened. I could see and feel my bed go down as if someone was sitting down by my feet. I jumped out of bed and ran out of my room to my parents' room. The next morning, my dad told me that the dog woke him up, and when he opened his eyes, there was a black mass shadow hovering over him. And when he saw that my dad opened his eyes, it zoomed out of the door into the hallway. Well, my room is the next room, so maybe that was what was pushing my bed down. I remember people came to pray for my room and bless it. I was too afraid to sleep in my room, so I slept in the living room. But now something else started to happen as I was laying down to go to sleep. I started to hear this beautiful choir singing. I was even thinking, where is that music coming from? I checked the TV. It was off. I checked the radio. It was off also. I even went into my room to check my TV, but my TV was also off. This happened for about a week straight, every night, and I would fall asleep to this choir singing. And I remember hearing the words, and I peacefully fell asleep each night. It actually brought me comfort. Also, at the same house, I was watching TV. I was watching a show about a boy who lost his dog and how his dog had come back to him. After the show, I went outside and I prayed to God, "Can you please send me back my dog?" My dog had been gone for months. I fell asleep in the living room and I was dreaming that I found my dog. And in my dream, the dog was barking. As my dog was barking in my dream, I woke up out of my dream to the same barking. I went to my backyard and on the other side of the fence was my dog barking. Crazy story, but true. My next experience was when I was 15 in Victorville, California. I went to a friend's to spend the night, and my friend's sister had friends over, and she was outside with one of her friends. He was drinking a beer out of a bottle, and he put the bottle on the hood of his car, and all of a sudden, the bottle starts to spin slowly and then tips over. And then it started to spin fast, out of control. He grabbed it, looked at me, and says, "Did you see that?" And I replied, "Yeah." So this is one I pulled up off the internet, so I'm not going to be afraid to tell the truth about what I think about this encounter. These encounters, first off, to read this was an exercise in futility. I understand this guy, well, he is from California, I think it is. Maybe from Amsterdam, maybe they lived there at some time, but this guy had no command of the English language. This literally, off the internet, was one jumbled sentence. Except for there was a period in the middle of a sentence at one point. It was a fiasco trying to relate these encounters to you. But these are the encounters that drive paranormal investigators crazy, because there's nothing of substantial evidence here. People hear voices and they think it's a ghost. People, you know, there's no firsthand experience. I've been in a bathroom where the shower curtain has opened on its own. It's just like when you take a shower. The shower curtain kind of wants to wrap around you. The shower curtain can open. A gust of wind or something, anything can cause a shower curtain to open. It doesn't mean it's paranormal. The spinning bottle, the guy was drinking beer. Maybe he put this bottle down and didn't put it down straight and it fell and it tried to roll down the hood maybe. I don't know. But there's not a lot in this I think is paranormal. So this one here I think is a joke. I think it's somebody trying to get their paranormal 15 minutes of fame, and it's not really working. So I wanted to put a story like this in here to begin this subject, because I want you to know that I am pretty subjective. I do look into these things, and not everything I see is paranormal. So this is one of them where I think it's just somebody trying to making up stories. It's good Halloween stories is what it is. Let's move on to the next one. This one comes from a listener of mine, and this is from Tanya. She is 24 years old, and she wanted to relate her stories with the paranormal that she had from the 5th grade to the 10th grade. Hi, my name is Tanya, and from the 5th grade to the 10th grade, I lived in a haunted house. I'm 24 now. Anyway, what I'm about to tell you is a few occurrences that happened to me, and may I add, these occurrences are quite true. First, a background on the house. It's a two-story farmhouse in Washington State, 3 bedrooms upstairs, 1 bedroom downstairs. From the living room is this big room with no purpose. We called it the middle room, and from there is the dining room, which had on this wall my dad's car trophies hanging on it. This wall is all that fake wood crap, and it's covering an old doorway which led to my bedroom closet. I had the downstairs room. From the dining room, it leads to the kitchen. It's all open space, and what I just described is in the shape of a horseshoe, so everything is quite visible. Oh, also off to the side of the dining room in the middle room is the sunroom, which is where the back door is located. In the two bedrooms upstairs, the closets are very long and narrow, with a little door leading the way in. On the inside of the closets is a piece of plywood about 2 foot by 3 foot in size nailed onto the wall. My sister, brother, and I have pulled these things off the wall, and behind it is a passageway throughout the house. We've never been in them. We were too creeped out. Sorry for the long description, but I feel it relevant to my stories that I'm about to share. Number one, this story is about the earliest memories that I have, so I'll start off with that. I had about 5 friends over, and we decided to play hide-and-seek. The rule was nobody goes upstairs since it would be easier to find people, and downstairs is big enough. My friend Brandy was it, and we heard someone go upstairs. She ran up there and saw someone hiding behind my sister's bedroom door. She yelled out, "I see your leg, you can come out now, you're it." But the person didn't move or say anything. Well, back downstairs, all of us were wondering, what the heck is she doing and where she went? And we all stood at the bottom of the stairs looking up at her. I said, "Brandy, who are you talking to? No one is up there. Remember the rule?" She looked at my sister's room again and saw nothing and looked at us staring at her from the base of the stairs. Her face turned very pale and she came running back down, literally knocking us over. She swore someone was upstairs and was freaking out. My parents looked upstairs and they found nothing. She quickly called her parents to pick her up. On another occasion, I came home after school and I was usually the first one home. I was watching my shows in the living room and I decided to go to the kitchen to make myself some popcorn. We had a popcorn popper and all those things are kind of loud. Anyway, I heard something banging on the wall. I turned around and saw that my dad's trophies and plaques were slapping against the wall. I thought, "Oh my God, we're having an earthquake," and quickly scanned the other walls and nothing was moving. I walked over to the wall and when I was about to touch it, the trophy stopped. I figured maybe someone else was home and went to my bedroom to see if someone was there playing a trick on me and was banging the wall on the other side. Of course, I found that I was the only one there. Well, I just shrugged it off and continued making my popcorn. Then the banging started up again. I went over to the wall to touch it, and the wall was ice cold. And then all the trophies started to fly off the wall. One plaque even hit me in the leg. Well, I freaked out and ran out the back door. I was pacing in my driveway thinking of all my options. Do I call Mom and Dad? Do I wait outside until someone came home? But then I got mad and I said, "Screw this, this is my house and I'm not gonna get chased out of it." So I mustered every ounce of courage and stormed in through the door with my eyes shut, yelling, "In the name of Jesus Christ." I opened my eyes and all the trophies were back on the wall and everything was quiet. It never happened again, but I'll tell you, I was never so scared in my life. Well, like I said, my bedroom was downstairs, and even though the strange occurrences that happened in the house all the time didn't scare me too bad, I still had to make sure my door was locked. I had a skeleton key to lock my door, and if that wasn't enough, I used a crutch in my dresser drawer to make sure nobody could come into my room. I look back now, and I think to myself, paranoid much? Anyhow, my mom would sometimes check on me before she went to bed. She also demanded that since I'm a heavy sleeper, I leave my door open in case there's a fire. Well, one night, I thought it was my sister that came into my room. My quote-unquote sister shook me awake, and I said, "What do you want?" The girl said she had a nightmare. Now, my room was pretty dark, and all I saw was a dark figure. I tossed the girl a pillow and a blanket and said she could sleep in my bed. I went to doze off again, and the girl kneeled down over me and started to laugh. Now, I'm also a grump, so I told her to go to sleep or leave. Then the girl walked over to my desk and picked up the ceramic egg, which is about the size of a football. I told her to drop the egg and leave. I'm not going to go deal with her crap. Well, I guess the girl didn't like it, like yelling at me, so she threw it at me, and the thing shattered over my head. I flew out of bed and turned on the light, thinking I was going to kick my sister's butt. And to my surprise, nobody was in my room, and my door was all barricaded shut. Well, about 3 days later, the same occurrence happened, and this time, it was my potted plant. As I saw my plant hover over my head, I realized it wasn't my sister and jerked my head to the side before it could hit me. This time, I flew out of the bed and turned on the light to kick some ghost butt. I told the ghost to show itself. No, it didn't show itself to me, but I yelled at it like it was there, and after that, it never happened again. Another encounter was with Brandy, the friend I told you about before. One night, Brandy decided to stay the night. Everybody went to bed. She and I stayed up and were talking in the living room. The next thing we knew, an older man, wearing a suit in all white that looked like it was from the 40s, came walking into the middle room. He stopped right in front of us. He smiled, and then he lifted his hand and evaporated. I wasn't scared, but I was quite dumbfounded, not quite sure what had even happened. I knew my house was haunted, but I never saw a ghost with such detail. Brandy then asked if I saw the same thing, and I said, oh yeah, I saw it. She was completely freaked out. Needless to say, she never spent the night again in that house. Obviously, I could go on and on, but I don't live there anymore, neither do my parents. But my grandparents own the house, and they rent it out, but no one stays there long. My grandparents can't figure out why their tenants don't stay, but I know the truth. I still have experiences with ghosts, but nothing as strong as when I lived in that house. That is from Tanya, one of our listeners, and that, my friends, is, I believe, my gut tells me those are legitimate stories of a haunting. She lived in a haunted house, and she is relaying to you, our listeners, just some of the experiences that she had. Some of you may think it's quite terrifying, and I'm sure it is, but Tanya looks at it as quite exhilarating, and she got used to it, and it didn't bother her. She wasn't afraid anymore. Let me know what you think. Did Tanya experience ghosts for roughly 5 or 6 years in her haunted house? Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Now, this next encounter is from a listener who chooses to remain nameless, and I have no problem with that. I appreciate this listener even submitting this story. And again, listen and tell me what you think. Is this a real-life paranormal encounter, and is this something you have experienced? Okay, this is a true story, but I wish to remain nameless. When I was about 15, my grandmother remarried, and they bought a new house. This house only had one previous owner. He had built the house, and he died at a fairly early age. My sister and I would stay with my grandma on the weekends. She lived there quite a while before I had an experience. It was late, and we were sleepy. In our room, we had this nightlight that looked like a gingerbread house. I woke up in the middle of the night, and on the wall, where the light was showing through one of the gingerbread house's windows, I saw a man's face coming out. I just laid there for a minute, thinking I was just seeing things. It was weird, because I can still pretty much see what it looked like. This person had reddish-toned hair and a scruffy reddish-toned beard. He came through the wall in some sort of 3D-type way, and he continued out until he was above my bed. At the same time, for some reason, my sister, who was in the bed next to me, fell out of bed and sort of screamed. It was then I knew I was awake. When I asked her if she had seen it too, she said no, that she had just been awakened by falling, so the next day I spoke to my grandma about this. She had known the man that lived there and said it didn't sound like the way he looked. She also told me that she had some things happen to her also. She said that on some mornings she could distinctly smell bacon frying, but no one was up. On one morning, and it was very early, she said she was awakened by the sound of a vacuum cleaner. Wondering what was going on, she got out of bed. She walked by my uncle's room only to find that he himself was just awakened by the same thing. When they walked into the living room where the vacuum was, the sound had stopped. The vacuum was unplugged. No one had been vacuuming. She also told me of a time when she was up late washing dishes and something caught the corner of her eye. When she looked up, she saw a hand opening and shutting. It was there for just a few minutes, and then it was gone. My grandmother also had a dog, and for no reason that we could see, the dog would at times become very irate. The dog would bark at things that weren't there. My grandmother also said that she had seen a woman before. As time passed, my grandma ended up having to have a lady come stay with her part-time to take care of my step-grandfather, who was elderly. No one had told her about these happenings. One day, as my grandmother came home, she found this lady outside, very shaken. So my grandmother asked her what was going on, what was wrong. The lady said that she had come into the house and seeing that grandma was still away, she decided to lay on the couch and take a short nap. No one was in the house at all, but as she rested her eyes, she heard footsteps near her and felt somebody touch her head and continue to walk past. She assumed that my grandma was back and that my step-grandfather had passed her on his way back to the bed. She decided to get up and go see if grandma needed any help with anything, only to find that she was still the only one in the house. She bolted out the door so fast she forgot her keys and had locked herself out. My uncle, who really doesn't talk too much, especially about things of this nature, had moved his bedroom downstairs into the basement. One morning, though, he came upstairs and commented on the fact that during the night, he felt someone lay down beside him, but no one was there. The last episode I can remember was one night my sister, my grandma, and my mother were sitting in the living room talking. All at once, my mom and grandma jerked their heads towards the hallway. Then they got up and checked the hallway to see if my step-grandfather had gotten out of bed and was disoriented or something. But they found him still in bed. Then they came back into the living room and sat down. My grandma asked my mom if she had seen it too, and my mom answered yes. When I asked them what they were talking about, they said they saw a black shadow walk into the hallway and then stop. Also, I forgot to mention that there was this pantry down the end of the basement where Grandma used to keep her canned vegetables and such. For some reason, none of us liked to go down there because the feeling we got down there was almost pure evil. Since then, Grandma has moved and we can't figure out whose spirits they may have been. We'll just never know, but we'll never, ever forget that house. That is from an anonymous listener of the Paranormal Patriot, and I thank you for relaying these paranormal encounters to the listeners. This, again, in my opinion, is a perfect example of someone who lives in a haunted house. Alrighty, so we're going to end the comments on a story that was given to me from a gentleman by the name of Mike. And the reason I'm going to end it on this is because it happened on Halloween. Mike is a listener of the Paranormal Patriot. He didn't want to give his last name for obvious reasons. He feels as if he may be ridiculed because he knows what he saw, as he said, but he still can't believe it. So this is a Halloween encounter from Mike. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's from Montreal, Quebec. And his story starts out like this. Now, this is my story, and it's true. I swear it on my mother's grave. I live in Montreal, Quebec. Out here, there are a lot of bizarre things, but none so horrifying than what happened to me and my ex-best friend, Steve. It was around Halloween time last year, 2018, when Steve and I got the idea to throw a Halloween party in the coolest spot we can find. So we started looking. Unfortunately, we didn't have much money, and all the nicest spots cost an arm and a leg to rent, so we decided to start looking at other options. We ended up finding an abandoned factory on the St. Patrick's Street, and although it was against the law, we figured what they don't know won't hurt them, and we're not going to tell them. So anyway, for the next couple of weeks, we went to the dollar store and we bought candles, decorations, party favors, snacks, and whatnot. We figured we should decorate the place at the last minute to lower the chances of getting caught. So on October 30th, we went down there, and Steve and I, while thinking of the coming bash and wondering where we were going to get a good boombox in there that would work on batteries all night, began to decorate. Steve was pretty nervous about the fact that a girl he liked a lot was going to be there. Anyways, as we proceeded with the decorating, I was hit with the most disgusting smell ever. It reminded me of a plastic container filled with three-week-old leftover boiled broccoli I once found in the refrigerator. Then Steve started freaking out, telling me how he felt like there was something tightening around his throat, making it hard for him to breathe or swallow. At first, I thought he was kidding, but then I started to think it was serious because his face was turning red and his eyes were bulging out, and you could really see the panic in them. Now, at this point, we were on the third floor of this building, so I grabbed Steve and pulled him toward the stairs so he could get down and get out of there. Let me tell you that I wasn't feeling too good about myself. I figured it was probably caused by the anxiety I felt for Steve, the stink in the air, and the whole confusion of the moment, but I felt like something was right in the back of us. When we reached the last flight of stairs, only then did I dare to turn around, and that's when I saw it. It was a huge, thick, black shape, very much like a shadow, but much thicker and much darker. And I swear I could hear it laugh, but the sound was very faint and very distant, nonetheless. It chilled me to the bone, and when I turned to Steve, I could tell right away he was seeing it too. His face had turned white, and he was staring at that thing with his mouth hanging open. We canceled the party, and after that, Steve and I were never close the way we used to be. Every time I tried to talk about what happened that day, he would get really mad at me and tell me to shut up until the day he just decided to deny everything and decided nothing ever happened at all, and that he didn't want to talk about it anymore, and on top of that, he didn't want to see me anymore. Whatever I saw not only changed my life, but it changed Steve and I's relationship. What I saw, I know I saw. It was there. Steve and I both saw it, and what it was pure evil. I will never forget that day, and I will never go near that abandoned factory again. The paranormal exists, Tom. I know it does because I have witnessed it. I just hope I will never witness it again. That, listeners, was a very terrifying account, and I believe a very truthful account of something that Mike and Steve witnessed. Unfortunately, there are some people that witness something like the paranormal, something like they've seen, and it changes them because basically what they've known as their reality is no longer their reality. They're seeing things that they never thought existed. Mike, I'm going to tell you right now, you were given a gift. You've seen the other side. You've seen through the veil. And I know it might seem like a curse. It was something evil that you believe you saw, and it sounds evil. A black mass laughing and literally choking your friend does not sound like a walk in the park, sound like a great time. But if you saw that, you can see the good on the other side. There is good on the other side. We just have to focus in more. Unfortunately, it changed your life, it changed Steve's life, and it changed your friendship. And nothing, it seems that Steve wants to believe that if he doesn't believe it happened, it didn't happen. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. We know, you know, Steve knows that it happened, and nothing is going to change that. Steve is going to have to come to terms that there is another realm out there. And until he comes to terms with that, he's going to struggle. So those are the paranormal stories for Halloween this year. I hope you enjoyed them. I just wanted to let you know I had a great time doing this paranormal month. So I want to end the show. I'm going to take a quick break and we're going to come back. And I'm going to end the show with just a quick talk about Halloween and what I want it to be for you and what I want it to be for me. So sit back, relax, kind of take a breath, get the lights back on. I'll be right back. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Why'd you turn me to a monster? They don't prosper, they just suffer. Eyes on my back, eyes all on my neck. There ain't no remorse, there's no comfort. How come you don't take me serious? How the hell are you not seeing this? You've covered your eyes, put on this disguise. I see all of your attention stage. See these lights all around.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30. I'm coming right up.
Walking down the street and I'm yelling trick or treat. And I see a kid standing there covered in a sheet. And I'm freaking my ass cause it's starting to sleep. And all the crazy little monsters are starting to creep. See a Spider-Man and a cute little nurse. And a car guy by the look just like a hearse. I better get going cause the night is getting worse. So I gotta fill my bag and get home first. The fog's rolling in and the night is getting long. Now I'm in a dark alleyway and not where I belong. I see a gentleman coming and it's looking really mean. I said, who's there? And it said, Tommy V. That's not funny, dude, get away from me. He laughed real hard and said, I'm sorry. I said, I better hurry. Nice skinny short. He said, I'm down, let's have a little sport. It's Halloween, let's have some fun. It's Halloween, party everyone. It's Halloween, here's a sucker. It's Halloween, let's party like a mother.
Alrighty, so it is Halloween. It's Halloween 2019. And this Halloween to me is pretty special. This is the first Halloween I've had on this show where I have done a paranormal month. Most of the time I have these grand visions of doing a whole month of paranormal, but because of the Halloween party that we throw every year, things get in the way. Well, I've decided and figured out that, you know, sometimes I have to record early. Sometimes I just forego sleep and forego family time to make sure this show gets done. And I just wanted to thank everybody that listened to this show, that shared this show for the whole month of October, because the month of October is going to go down as one of the, if not the best months the Paranormal Patriot has had. I mentioned last week that it is getting recognized for growing. It is being featured on Podbean in one of their Halloween paranormal podcast to listen to during the Halloween season. And Halloween to me is, it's always been one of my favorite holidays. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the day after Halloween is my birthday. So that happens to be All Saints Day. So I'm a saint apparently, but Halloween was always fun. I got to dress up and be somebody that I wasn't. I got to hang out with my friends and I got to get free candy. And then, you know, it was a time when family got together. We'd always get pizza. We'd always have apple cider and donuts. And in school, we'd always have Halloween parties where we'd walk around. We'd take half the day and we'd get dressed in our costume and just walk around the school in our costumes. And it wasn't offensive to do so at that time. And it was just a more innocent time. Now the kids don't even have Halloween parties. They have harvest parties. Which, okay, fine. You can't wear your costumes. Everything offends everybody. And it's sad because the kids of today are not going to know the joy of what Halloween really was. Halloween was fun. Halloween was getting together with your friends, getting together with your family, and having fun and, you know, being somebody you're not just for a little bit. You know, I was Boba Fett one year, and that was great. I was Darth Vader. I had a Star Wars fixation, apparently. But I was somebody I couldn't be at that time. And the kids today, you know, they'll dress up, and it's not the same. They don't want to go to the Halloween parties. They don't want to have the family and the friend time. Because it's just a different world, and it's sad. So what I want and what I would love for my listeners to do is try and bring back the Halloween of old. The innocent Halloween where we got together and took our kids trick-or-treating. Our kids enjoyed trick-or-treating. We would all get together and have Halloween parties. I would love to see the schools have Halloween parties again where the kids could dress up in their costumes on Halloween, and they could walk throughout the school and walk around the gymnasium so everybody could see their costumes. That was one of the highlights of my year, was seeing that, because I would see all the cool costumes. Kids don't have that joy today, so I hope this Halloween gives you joy, and it brings you back to a time in your life where you were innocent, where nothing offended you. You were just enjoying Halloween in general. I don't want to turn this political, but everything offends everybody nowadays, and it's turned our culture into something that's just, it's just not as fun as it used to be. I mean, there's always been people who have been against Halloween, and it's usually religious people who say, "Oh, it's a holiday of Satanism." It's not. It's innocent fun where people dress up and do what they did hundreds and thousands of years ago and go to places and ask for treats. Well, some people would say, hey, you want a treat? You got to do a trick. Hence, trick or treat. If you're an adult, do an adult trick or treat. Go around to your friend's house and trick or treat. Wear a costume and just say, hey, Joe, hey, trick or treat, buddy, give me something. And make that a tradition to where it's not only the kids trick-or-treating, but the adults can trick-or-treat. And, you know, they might get a little bottle of booze. They may get, you know, a Snickers candy bar. They may get nothing. But it's just being around each other and knowing your neighbors and having fun with your neighbors. We don't do that anymore. And we need to get back to that. Let's do that. Let's, as adults, let's make Halloween fun again. And it starts with us. I mean, if our kids see us going around to our adult friends, our neighbors, hey, Fred, trick or treat, buddy, what do you got in there? And Fred gives us something and puts it in our bags, that makes the kids want to do it too. So Fred's kids, they want to go trick or treating with our kids. And it just brings back times that they're never going to forget. I will never forget the times I had with my friends trick-or-treating, because those are times that are burned into my memory as some of the best times of my life, where we'd go around for hours on end just running from house to house to house, getting just pounds and pounds of candy. It was just, it's something that needs to be brought back and something that needs to be, it needs to come back, I guess, is basically what I'm saying. I'm hoping Halloween 2019 for you is very safe and very fun. It will be fun, at least tomorrow night, because on the 26th of October, we're having another Halloween party, and it's planning on being a bash. It's going to be a huge party, probably the biggest one we've had, and it's just going to be fun. And that is what I want to instill into my kids, that Halloween's fun. Get together with people. It is not a sin to get together with people. It's fun. You don't have to do it every day, but get together with people. And that's what I want to instill in my kids. Just bring your friends and family together, because those are times you're never going to get back and you will never, ever forget them. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I wish each and every one of you a happy Halloween 2019. Thank you again for everything you've done for this show. I can't thank you enough. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Happy Halloween.